Welcome to Sunday morning teaching from Canaan Land Church in Grove City with Pastor Sean. We're so glad you've joined us today. Now, let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Sean, they can't hear. They go, I don't even know. Try. No. Have you prayed before you have dealt with someone about accepting Jesus Christ? Lord, give me the words to say. God, go before me and you set the stage. I'll never forget it. There's like three people in a week that I went and witnessed to in the hospital, and I'm flying up the elevator, Barb, and I'm wondering, okay, how do I even have this conversation? I've never met them before. This is kind of awkward, Lord. What do I do? And when I open the door and I go in the room, they're crying saying, tell me how to be saved. That's what God going before us does. Huh? That's what God does. So we got to pray that God goes before you and I. And when we pray for the lost, we're saying to God, Lord, you go first. And if you don't, everything I try to do is going to be in vain. As a matter of fact, if God doesn't go before us, we'll make it worse. So do you see why we should pray? There's four reasons. I'm going to hurry. Here's the second question. Okay, Sean, I agree with you. We should pray. But how can we pray for the lost? First of all, pray that God draws the lost. This is important. This is why it's first. It's based on what Christ himself said in John 6. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, what? Draw him. Simply put, salvation is a work of God, not of man. And the only way we recognize there is a God is because he came to us first. Look at it here. When you look at the scripture, we believe firmly that only God can initiate a transformation. Meaning any desire we have for God, guess who it comes from? God. And if we say it's not from God, and we're just that smart and that holy and that good, we're taking glory away from God, and he will not stand for that. God's grace always precedes our salvation. And if salvation is the work of God, our first response in seeking the salvation of someone who is lost, here it is prayer to God that he may move upon them. I've said this in the gym many a times. Lord, have your Holy Spirit woo them. What? Love them. And draw that person by your grace and mercy to you. So we got to pray. How do we pray? We pray that God draws the lost to himself. Next, we pray that their hearts are open to God's word. If we're praying for the lost, and we understand why we're praying for the lost, and we know that God has to go before us when he does, and he draws them to himself, we pray next that their hearts are open to hear what's being preached right now. Acts 16:14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Look at that she attended on the things which are spoken of Paul. The Bible says that in Scripture, the heart is deceitful above all things, who can know it, and desperately wicked. But the good news is that God can soften that heart. You ever see someone come into church and they're rigid? And the Holy Spirit of God just starts chiseling away and chiseling away. And they come in all tough and big and bad. And by the end of the service, they're slumped down crying. You say, Sean, you like that? You're a sick man. No, that's conviction. That's a good thing. That's God not only drawing him to himself, but what's being sung and the presence of God that's here and what's being preached is opening their heart to God's word. So if you're lost, Realize this, there's nobody too lost that they can't be found. And there's no one too wicked that cannot be saved. You've not gone too far. Oh man, the heart of unsaved people, there are some dark, hardened hearts. I've talked to them, I've seen them. But when God begins to move in their life, that situation changes. So we got to pray that God draws them, that He goes first and draws them, that their hearts are open to the Word of God. And next, we pray that the Holy Spirit does what only the Holy Spirit can do. He works in their life. John 16 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." He said, "It's expedient. It's necessary. It's imperative that I go away. Because if I don't, listen, the Comforter will not come." He said, "But if I depart, I'll send unto you another. And when He comes, He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Listen close to this. Unless the Holy Spirit of God moves upon a person's heart, that person will never yield to the place where they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Has to be the Holy Spirit. I want you to hear this loud and clear. You can debate someone all you want and tell them how you're so right because of the Word of God. And you can argue forever, but listen to me, you cannot argue anyone into the kingdom of God. It's a moot point. Too many people are trying to show other people that they're right instead of showing them the love of Jesus Christ. And you can overpower them. You can have all the intellect in the world. You can have smooth words and you can communicate so effectively, but they will never submit themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit of God moves on their heart. Salvation comes only by the working of the Holy Spirit. And I know that's a taboo word today, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit of God. I love when the Holy Spirit shows up in church. Because He's the one who reveals God to us. He's the one that teaches us the truth of Scriptures. If I try to read the Word of God without the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, I will make a mess of this. And so will you. And I'll take it a step farther. If the Holy Spirit is working upon that person's life and drawing them to Christ, do you know that you cannot keep that person from coming to saving grace in Jesus Christ? You know why? Because it's not between you and them. It's between them and the Holy Spirit of God. Here's my point. When there is conviction in church, there is friction with the lost. There's a problem going on here. So listen to me. Don't be surprised when you're praying for someone that's lost and you're praying for them and you're loving on them and you're showing them the love of Jesus Christ, that when it comes time and friction starts rubbing on them because they're convicted, that they get mad at you. And I don't know about you, the old me would do this. Oh, you won't get mad at me? Well, I just won't pray for you. How about that? We want to do fifth grade stuff? We can do fifth grade stuff. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to talk to you. When they're irritable, that's when God's moving. So keep praying, Christian. Keep loving them. Keep serving them any way you can. But also do this. Always pray that Christ goes before you. Don't stop praying. And listen to me. Don't stop praying that God would send someone to them. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 9. "Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." We quote that all the time. And we stop there, don't we? Look at what He says in the next verse. "Pray ye therefore." Oh, there's a great idea. "Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth," what? "Laborers into His harvest." Not club members. Laborers. Not sit in my seat and play armchair quarterback. Laborers. Workers. people that are involved leading people to Jesus Christ. Christian, when you pray for someone to go to those people you love, to share the gospel to them, I'm telling you, you better be ready because God may send you. So when you're praying for someone to go to them, you also pray to be ready. You pray that you would have boldness. You pray that God would use you to share openly and lovingly and caringly and clearly the saving grace of Jesus Christ. A student once asked Charles Spurgeon, he said, "What about the heathen that have never heard of the Lord? Will they be saved?" Here's what Spurgeon replied. I love it. He said, "That's not the question that haunts me as a preacher." He said, "The question I have is, what about us who have the gospel and never share it? Are we truly even saved?" I will say this and move on. When you pray that someone might go share the gospel, be prepared to be that person that he sends. But make no mistake, we need to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. Next, pray they'll accept Christ as their Savior. Yeah, this is what got me. Romans 10. You're lost, hear this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. I want you to hear this. I really wanted to preach what I preached Wednesday night to Sunday morning. If you didn't hear it, you need to hear it. But I'll just add to that this morning right here. Do you know that salvation isn't just believing there is a God? The devil and the demons believe there's a God. They know. They saw him. Salvation is not praying a little prayer, promising to be good from here on out. You know what salvation is? Lord, I'm laying down me and my wants and desires. And I'm picking up, I'm surrendering to you and what you would have me do and have me be. It's believing that the payment, the atonement for your sin and my sin that was done on the cross of Calvary. And to be saved, we have to believe and then surrender to Christ. The proof we've turned to Christ is that we've turned from sin. If you come down and say, "Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness," and then you walk out the door and keep doing the same things you've always done, you haven't had a salvation experience. You've had an emotional moment. Change. Are we perfect? Look at me for the love of the Lord. I am a representation that is a big no. Oh, Paul, I want to be like him more every day. I want to see what he sees. And I want to tell people that there's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. What else do? We pray for transformation, that it'll begin in their life. That's what I'm talking about. There's a real transformation. 2 Corinthians 5 reminds us, you know it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things, how about that? Are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The older I get, the more I look back and don't like the old me. I don't like the old me. And if you hear nothing else, you hear this. Please pay attention to this. True conversion leads to total transformation. There is a transformation. When Christ comes in, he changes everything, doesn't he? He doesn't just rearrange the furniture. He blows up the whole house and starts over. And if you feel right now that you need any other reason to pray for the lost. We've talked about why we need to. We've talked about how to pray for the lost. But here's why I believe we as a church need to pray for lost people in our families, where we're anybody we come in contact with. Here's the final reason. It's because more than likely you came to Christ because someone prayed for you. I couldn't help but think, how many prayers my grandparents and my parents prayed for me. If you're here and you're saved, maybe you can say amen. It was a godly mother or father. It was a friend. It was a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader, a deacon, a missionary, a fellow student, a co-worker. But someone cared enough to get down on their knees and pray that you'd accept Jesus Christ. Don't you dare think you came to Christ on your own. Not so. No doubt someone lifted your name up before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And they said, Lord, whenever you feel led, move in the life of this individual. Go before me, Lord. Draw them to you so they can see that they're a sinner and that they need to be saved. If someone prayed for you when you were lost, won't you pray for someone else who needs to know Jesus Christ? Jude 22:23 says this. And some have compassion, making a difference. Or literally meaning this. We need to have mercy for people that do not believe, that have doubts. And look at what he says here in verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them or snatching them out of the fire. Isn't that a great picture? That someone was dangling over the fire. The devil thought he had him, but the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And God sent the Holy Spirit right when that person needed him, what? Plucked them out of the fire. That's why we should shout if you're saved. That's why we should be excited about the Lord. But instead, so many come in and are acting like an entitled club member, instead of a rescuer that's trying to rescue others because they know what it's like to be rescued themselves. I want to lead people to Jesus. But before I lead them to the Lord, I want to pray that God gives me the ability, the wisdom, and the courage to lead someone to Christ. Why? So we can kick the devil in the teeth and snatch another one out of the fire. I want to close with this. When you pray passionately, when you pray, some say fiercely, I call it aggressively. How about that? I want to aggressively pray for someone to be saved. When I know someone comes in here and they're lost and they don't come and get saved and they leave lost, I don't badger them and follow them around like a mosquito. No, I let the Holy Spirit do His work. But I want them to know that I'm praying for them. And I'm passionately, vigorously praying for them, because when you do that, you're literally saying to that person, not only that you love them, but I'm not going to let you die and go to hell without fighting first. We got to fight. I want to close with a quote from the great preacher Spurgeon. It was in a sermon that he preached. I caught a hold of it. He was preaching on the believer's responsibility to plead for the lost. That when we are saved, as a part of our prayer, we pray, Lord, save those that are lost. Lord, and you riddle off the names that you know of people And the devil will sit there and tell you, how long have you prayed for them? And the devil will tell you they're too far gone. Look how far in sin they've gone. It has no effect on them. You know what I've found? The louder the enemy of our soul roars, the closer the Lord is to bringing them to saving grace. But listen to what he says here. I'm just going to read it. We're going to pray. Powerful words for the responsibility of the Christian to plead for those that are lost. He said, until the gate of hell is shut upon a man, we must not cease to pray for them. And if we see them hugging the very doorpost of damnation itself, we must go to the mercy seat and beseech the arm of grace to pluck them from their dangerous position. While there is life, I like this, there is hope. And although a soul is almost smothered with despair, we must not despair, but rather arouse ourselves to awaken the almighty arm of God to go pluck them out of the fire. Did you see the aggressiveness in that prayer? That's what we got to have. Intensity, passion, love for those that we know that need to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I was counseling a few people. And they came to me, and both of them got saved at our church. This has been years ago. Don't try and go back in your mind and find them. You won't know who they are. I know you. You humans. But I'll never forget when I was studying this, they came to mind. And I don't preach a sermon on somebody, if they come to mind, I just stop because I don't want to make it about a personal connection. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to preach. But I couldn't help but think when they came to me and both of them said, we've accepted Jesus Christ at this church. And they had been coming long enough to know what is sin and what is not sin. And I'm going to be honest with you, they were living together. And I took them to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. And it said, marriage is an honorable thing. The bed should not be defiled. But whoremongers and the like do these things. Meaning this, living together is sin. I'll say it again. Living together is sin. And I wanted God to go before me, Scotty. And I said, I just don't want to jump in there and tell them where they're wrong and then say, now, figure it out. There, I've done my part. I wanted to let God lead. So we counseled about 3 weeks. And on the fourth week, I knew, I was like, this is the week. I've got to tell them because they're living in sin. And Lord, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be offensive, but I love them. I want them to do it right. And I made up my mind. I didn't tell Karen, but I made up my mind. If they will adhere to what I'm saying, I'll open up a room for one of them to stay with us until they get married. You still with me? Don't tell them what they need to do and don't walk beside them. Be the good Samaritan. Don't ask them what their sin is. Don't ask them what their political affiliation is. If God tells you to help them and you walk with them. Amen? I was determined. One way or the other, we're going to make room. I'm not going to give them any excuse. But I'm going to show them how much I love them. We got in that meeting and I said, before we begin, I broke down, I started crying. It made him uneasy. And he kept looking at her. And I said, I got to talk to you about something. I choke up again. And I said, I want you to know I do love you. And I care about you. And I want what's best for you. And I want you to build this foundation on God who instituted marriage. He kept looking at her. And he was getting nervous. And I thought, Lord, this is going bad. And he said, well, do you want to tell him? And I just stopped and I said, tell me what? He said, the Lord convicted us a few weeks ago. And we went to the justice of the peace and got married. And then I got mad at him because they didn't tell me. I said, for 3 weeks, you have wore me out. And I just hugged him. I didn't even want to. Counseling's over. The Holy Spirit did more than I could have ever done. Didn't even have to go into it. But they knew what God's Word said. And they made it right. That's prayer. Lord, you can do better than me. You stir their heart. You soften it. I don't want to be that one that just... You realize that we can kick people down so far they can't go any farther down. Are you with me right now? I don't want to do that. But I don't want to turn a blind eye to sin. We got to pray that God go before us. We got to pray for those that are lost. Because thank God somebody prayed for us. Somebody prayed for me. And I want to pray for my kids the way my parents prayed for me. I want to pray for your kids the way my parents prayed for other kids. I think it was great, and I'll never get over it. We're at Brother Mike's funeral, and Teresa and all of us are sitting there. And all those prayers he prayed when he come to the altar and she come to the altar. God answered him. Won't he do it? He'll do it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's people are praying. My prayer is that this helped you today. That if you're lost, you'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That you'd step out and come down an aisle. That while I was preaching, that you would, God would place somebody on your mind that's lost. That you'd come and you'd pray for them. That you would come as a family and pray for the lost in your family. Because the devil's saying, oh no, they're too far gone. They've heard what you've had to say. They've denied it. They don't want to hear it. You pray even harder. That God deals with them. We got to be a praying church. For God won't honor what we're doing.
In today's message from Pastor Sean. If you have questions about our church, we hope you will reach out to us at canaanland.church. If you join us at the church for our weekly service, please make sure to say hello to Pastor Sean, and we look forward to seeing you soon.